Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit is often the overlooked member of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is often the member of the Trinity that we do not think or talk about as much as the others. The Old Testament is full of references to God the Father. God the Father is the central figure, if you will, of the Old Testament. Of course, the New Testament, it is his Son, Jesus Christ. But what of the Holy Spirit? What of him and what he does? The Holy Spirit is true God, co-equal with the Father and the Son in divinity and glory. He is referenced also throughout the Bible, not just in the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. He came in full to God's church at Pentecost on the birthday of the Holy Christian Church, if you want to put it that way. But not as much ink seems to be spilled writing about him. Not as much airtime gets spent speaking of him. The Nicene Creed, which we confess every Sunday and Saturday that we have Holy Communion, is a creed that came out of controversies in the 4th century, about 1,600 years ago, about the person and work of Jesus Christ. The question was, is Jesus Christ always true God, or was he a creation like you and I are creations? And so the council came up with that long middle section of the creed, God of God, light of light, very God, and so forth. But that initial creed, having covered the controversial doctrine of the day, ended this way, not the way we say it now, but it ended simply with, "And I believe in the Holy Spirit, amen." Church got out about 20 seconds earlier back then during those decades that they had it that way. It took about 60 or 70 years, and they said, okay, we need to add a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, and now we have what we have in the Nicene Creed. Yes, the Holy Spirit is often overlooked when we talk about God and theology and the Bible, but when he is not overlooked, he's often misunderstood. He's misunderstood what he does in the church. Some Christians, a little bit jaded by a seeming lukewarmness of other Christians, people that profess Christ and bear his name, they desire to recreate and recapture that fire, that energy, the feelings of the New Testament church, where the Holy Spirit came after Pentecost. And we know well the apostles performed all those signs and wonders and had those gifts, and the church was growing hand over fist. And these people then, in turn, have a hyper-focus on the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he supposedly gives. They want to recreate the tongues, where people could not speak a language, but in the moment they were given the gift by God in Acts to speak a language to someone else so that they might spread the gospel. Some people today, wanting to take the Holy Spirit and his work and recreate it from Acts, put an emphasis on a special revelation where someone will get up and speak in the Holy Spirit and present a new message to be heard in the church. Charismatics and Pentecostals are the name. Let's name them. Let's call them what they are. This is what they believe, and it's what they do. But the trouble is, what they believe and do is missing the mark. If ignoring the Holy Spirit is the ditch on one side of the road, well, On the other side, we have this, an overemphasis on the Holy Spirit. But even I'd say this, it's not just an overemphasis, it's a misattribution to him of works that he does not necessarily do or still do. And when you take this desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, desire to have those New Testament miraculous signs that accompanied having the Holy Spirit today, well, you sort of redirect the focus of Christianity away from its center in Jesus Christ and his work for us, and you turn it and you look instead at experience and feelings and things that are not the forgiveness of sins. Fickle marks and signs and indicators replace the sure and certain biblical foundation for who we are in Jesus Christ. We all know, though, the solution. When we see an error on one side, we don't turn the wheel over and go into the other ditch, overcorrecting, but no, rather, our solution is to find what is right, what is actually true, what is true about something, anything, and in this case, what is true, understanding of the Holy Spirit and his works. It's very easy for us to define ourselves in opposition to other groups, other peoples. If you've ever heard a Lutheran pastor preach a Reformation Sunday sermon, we fall into that all the time. Thank goodness we're not Roman Catholic. Thank goodness we're not like those other Protestants over there. Okay, well and fine as far as it goes. But finally, it's a poor way to operate just thinking of ourselves in opposition to other people who get things wrong. We shouldn't form our doctrine, our theology, our beliefs, our faith in a reactionary way to other people, but rather, we should form our doctrine, our beliefs, and our practice in the biblical way. What does the Bible say? That's what we believe and do. And for this matter, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, and his works? Hopefully, we know it well. This is a bit of a refresher for you. But we know that the Holy Spirit is the one that creates faith. He is the one that brings faith to our hearts that Jesus Christ is our Lord and God. Paul says it well and clearly to the Corinthians. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, he says to the Romans, he asks that God would give you peace in believing and by the Holy Spirit abound in hope, Romans 12. And who can improve upon Jesus' own words in the Gospel of John earlier on? Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We all know the gospel. We know what it is. By the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ, not gold or silver, we have redemption and forgiveness from God the Father. But the gospel isn't it. The gospel is something that we have that the Holy Spirit then uses to bring us to faith. Think of the third explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. The Holy Spirit is the one that has given us faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the second part here, he sanctifies us. He sanctifies us, making us holy, turning us from what we were, what we are, into what we are becoming and will finally be forever. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us his fruit, the sevenfold fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5. The Holy Spirit enables us to walk with God in a manner that is pleasing to him, that shows forth the new creations and new life that we have in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has specific good works that he does for us that are central to who we are as Christians. He helps us grab hold of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross, and he helps us, in the second place after that has happened, to become more like Jesus. Do you see the thing there with what the Holy Spirit chiefly does? It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about you or me. It's not about gifts or signs or wonders that can make us feel good or make us look good in comparison to others, something we can brag about and point to. No, the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. If there is a picture, an image I'd like for you to remember today about the Holy Spirit and his work in the church, I want you to think of this. You've seen a building before, usually a very nice building, a church or some business or house, and it has outside, in front of the bushes, a floodlight. And that floodlight is pointing up to the building, so at night, the building is illuminated. You can see the building clearly, and its majesty, if it is a majestic building, is shown forth so that you may better see its majesty and all the good looks that go with it. Friends, the Holy Spirit is that floodlight. And the building is Jesus Christ. He exists so that we can see Jesus Christ and we can know Jesus Christ more clearly. That is his work. And that's what, when Jesus says in the gospel today, he will take what is mine and declare it to you, is all about. The Holy Spirit illuminates our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is the Holy Spirit important? Absolutely he is. He is very important, a very necessary member of the Holy Trinity, and a very necessary part of yours and my salvation. And the other question is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You who don't have the miraculous ability to speak in a language that you've never learned, you who do not have the gift of healing and miracles like the apostles had, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely you are. You have been baptized. You believe in Jesus Christ. That is proof positive that you have the Holy Spirit, not just a minimal amount, but in the full amount that is necessary for your life and salvation. So don't ever be troubled by somebody that says you have to have more. You have to have a feeling. You have to have these signs and wonders, etc. They don't matter. You have the one thing that truly matters, the Holy Spirit that illuminates your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father be all glory now and forever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen.